Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christmas is a pretty big deal in Finland. In fact, there's a tradition there that's held every year, been held ever since the 1300s. It's called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. Each year at noon on Christmas Eve, the Christmas peace is declared in the city of Turku. The proclamation is made by a city councillor from the balcony of the historic mansion found in the old city square. It's broadcast on radio, TV, and now it's, of course, live streamed on the internet. This declaration serves as a reminder and an encouragement to spend the holiday in harmony and in peace, to threaten offenders with harsh punishments, and to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. This declaration of peace reads in part, "Tomorrow, God willing, is a graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all. By advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully, because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall under aggravating circumstances be guilty and punished according to what the law and statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all inhabitants of the city." As someone said, you don't mess with the Finns' Christmas peace, or you'll be severely punished. It's good that they remind the people of the city and the country that Jesus comes every year, but they're talking about a worldly peace, a physical peace, and they're going to try and enforce that peace through laws. Last week, we talked about hope. Advent looks back to the hope fulfilled when Christ first came into the world, and looks ahead to a hope-filled eagerness and assurance of Christ's second coming, when he comes to take his people to be with him. Each week during Advent, we're focusing on some special blessings and gifts that our Savior gives to us during this Advent Christmas season: hope, peace, joy, and love. Each of these blessings help us rediscover again the real meaning to Christmas. This week, we're speaking about peace. And as we go through these four blessings, we're also looking at Christmas characters, biblical characters from the Christmas story, and how they encountered the baby Messiah, Jesus. Last week, we saw how Simeon and Anna's hope was fulfilled when they actually held the baby Jesus in their own arms. So, when we think of peace at Christmas time, you got to think about the shepherds. They're the first ones who are given this amazing announcement of the Prince of Peace being born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. That message is so special. It's so poetic in King James, especially for those of us who are raised in King James. It's a special tug at our heart, and that's why every year we have the King James Version once a year in the Christmas story. And so I'd ask you this morning to open up your bulletins and take out your insert, and let's read together our sermon text for this morning, which is Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. We'll read in unison. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Wow. There is so much in those few verses. To begin with, this is God's birth announcement. The birth announcement of his son to the rest of the world. And what a way to announce that long-awaited birth. What a way to announce a special birth in this amazing way. There, in the midst of the dark and ordinary night of Bethlehem, in the countryside, suddenly an angel appears in the sky. And then suddenly the whole sky is filled with heavenly angels. It's hard to imagine the magnitude and the brightness and the terrified and the gloriousness that sight must have been for all those shepherds. And then the sound. They all gather together in one voice, possibly singing, praises to God in the highest, and also peace to all people on earth. One would think that that kind of announcement, given by angels themselves, would be intended for some very important VIPs. The rich, the famous, the powerful, kings and queens, for sure, the religious leaders, prominent religious leaders of the Jews, right? Nope. What do we read in our text? And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds, those lowly, common, ordinary people, keepers of sheep, the most unlikely, unexpected recipients of this gospel message of God's peace to mankind. It's another example of how God's ways are not our ways. We would have thought and planned and did this announcement probably in Jerusalem to the king and all the magistrates in a much different way. So we need to ask, why the shepherds? Why were shepherds chosen to be the first to hear this message of God's peace in the person of the baby Jesus? Well, shepherds were pretty important people in the Old Testament. First of all, when you think of shepherds, go back to the beginning of time, and the first shepherd we hear of, other than Adam and Eve, is their second-born son, Abel, who was a shepherd who, in simple faith, brought first fruits of his sheep as a sacrifice and offering to God. Secondly, the patriarchs of the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all were shepherds. God came to Abraham and said, I will make a promise with you that through you and your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And that was passed on down then to his descendants, Isaac, Jacob, and all the way down to the time of Jesus. Thirdly, David, the greatest king of Israel, was first a shepherd. But shepherds were nothing special. They had no entitlement. There was no pride or arrogance. There was no religious bragging to them. However, they fit right into the process of this strange announcement of this great birth. Whom did God choose as Jesus' parents? A stepfather who was a humble carpenter and a mother who was a poor maiden to be the parents of the Son of God. And then he's born in a lowly stable. His first bed is a manger surrounded by animals. And then these rough and rugged shepherds are the first ones to be told this good news of peace. Not part of the higher, refined, civilized people. These were the have-nots. An example of God raising and using the humble and the lowly to turn this world upside down. those considered by society as the most holy religious leaders, the Pharisees, they were not the ones who were invited and given a place there in the manger, kneeling before this baby who was born. These shepherds also signify Jesus' future ministry. To whom did he reach out? To the lonely, the lowly, the despised, the outcast, the publicans, the sinners, the poor, people of low degree. Sheep also were very special in the Old Testament. When you think of the Passover, the greatest holiday of the Jews, they would take that sheep, that unblemished sheep, one-year-old sheep, and sacrifice it every year. And its sacrifice symbolized the washing away of sins, making us one with the Heavenly Father. And when they did that, they remember back to the past when Moses was told to take that lamb and all the people and spread it on the doorposts. And the angel of the Lord passed over their homes and set them free from slavery. But it also was done for them to look forward ahead to the Lamb of God who had come and spread his blood upon a cross and die for the sins of the whole world. This baby Jesus came into the world as that Lamb of God who would take away the sins, your sins and my sins, and the sins of all people. He'd be the ultimate sacrifice. His death did away with the need for all these sacrifices of all these lambs. His resurrection assures us that we are now not guilty, declared righteous before our Heavenly Father. And we've been promised peace. Peace with our righteous, perfect, holy God. It's probably partly because of all these reasons that God sent his angelic messengers to bring this message first to them in Bethlehem, these lowly, common, ordinary shepherds. It certainly reminds us that God's favor and his grace is not based upon human standards. His favor is upon all those who humbly acknowledge their sins, repent of their sins, and look with joy and thanksgiving to what Jesus has done for us. To give thanks for those gifts, hope, peace, joy, and love. Peace is not based upon your class or your occupation or your position in life. Peace is based upon God's grace and given to us as a message of good news for us to rejoice and to praise God. Well, these shepherds also lead us into several insights to our own reception of God's peace in our lives. And that's our theme for this morning, finding peace in our struggles. Our first point is, peace comes in the midst of storms. I'm sure that even though we haven't experienced a hurricane here in Wisconsin, you know about hurricanes. In the middle of the hurricane, there's a little thing called an eye. It's an eerie stillness. Calm. You can even see it on the radar. There's no wind. There's no rain. It's just peacefully quiet. But it doesn't last very long because then again, the wind picks up and now it starts howling again in the opposite direction that it was before the eye. Well, is that how our Christmases have been in the past and maybe are again this year? Whirlwind, peace, whirlwind again. And we may, if we're honest with ourselves, not use the word whirlwind or hurricane, but we might say, well, it's been pretty frenetic, frazzled, busy, hectic at this time of year. And maybe that's how your life is all year round. Maybe it's an overloaded work schedule. Maybe an overloaded school schedule that robs you of your peace. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's raising your children. Maybe it's other family matters. Maybe it's health concerns. Maybe it's emotional stress. Maybe it's a lost job. Maybe it's financial fears. Maybe it's sudden illness. You name it. And this year, it could be anything. COVID anxiety. For many of us, real lasting peace sounds so good. It's something we'd like to really have, but we just can't grasp it. But Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten our hope, threaten our peace, threaten our joy. He's there with us when all things seem lost and the future just looks so murky and so uncertain. That's where the Christ child is. That's where the angels come and announce the good news of peace embodied in the person of Jesus. In Israel's dark night of Roman oppression, of being centuries of suffering and wondering, where is God? Why has he fulfilled his promise? Just think, this wonderful peace that was given to this couple, Mary and Joseph, who were in turmoil. Mary's 9 months along. They leave Nazareth and travel 70 miles by donkey or by foot all the way down to Bethlehem because they have to obey the government to go down to be counted and to be taxed. So Mary has to leave her mother and father and all of her relatives and give birth to her firstborn baby without any midwives. And here Mary and Joseph have their first baby, not in a hospital, not even a house, in a barn. Most of us know how it was having our first child. Imagine how it was to Mary and Joseph having their first child without any help. And this child was the Son of God. In all these circumstances, in all these struggles, that's where Jesus is found, in his word of peace. In our pain, in our fears, in our struggles, in our loss, in our confusion, in our grief, in our uncertainty, whatever hardship you're going through or whatever physical or emotional pains you're feeling right now, Jesus knows that. And he's there to bring us his peace and comfort our heart and settle our soul. Secondly, no matter how awful our pain or our suffering may be, there's a peace that is greater and deeper than our hurt, a peace that defies our circumstances. In the face of all of this feeling that we may have and all we've gone through, there is real peace. It can guard our heart and our mind from even more anxiety. In fact, the Apostle Paul describes the process this way in Philippians 4. He writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Good times, bad times, life, death, rejoice in the Lord always. "Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." No matter what we are facing, let us begin by turning our hearts to Jesus in prayer. All of our hurts, all of our worries, all of our questions, all of our needs, all of our doubts, lay them on Jesus. Again, Paul says, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." And finally, the most amazing thing is this peace is a person. This peace is Jesus. As we heard in our first reading this morning from Ephesians, "For he himself is our peace." And 700 years before Jesus was even born in this world, the prophet Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace. We read from Isaiah 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over the kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." These words speak about the completion of Jesus' work, the Messiah's work, and about his eventual setting up of his kingdom. But most of all, it's telling us that this Christ that was born, this child, this son that was given, brings the power and the rule of his peace into our personal lives. He's the bringer of peace into my life, into your life. He brings us peace with our Heavenly Father. He's a sacrificial lamb that gives us life, the embodiment of peace that says now we have a oneness with our Father. We mentioned it this morning in our Bible class. That wall of sin has been removed, taken away, and now there's oneness between us and our Creator. Jesus is our peace with our Father in heaven. He has earned for us the gift of forgiveness of sins. He's brought security and comfort to our hearts and to our minds. He's secured for us the assurance of resurrection from the dead and an entrance into everlasting life. And that's why we, as we mentioned also this morning, that we have to look beyond the manger there, beyond the cradle, to the cross that looms over it. For if we don't have the cross, which brought us peace and reconciliation to the Father, then that cradle means absolutely nothing. Jesus is the peace who has come to be with us. And he offers us that peace in these words from Matthew 11. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." We can all say peace. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In this second Sunday of Advent, let us look to our Prince of Peace. Even when the winds of fear blow and the storms of sadness swirl around us, come to him. Worship him like the shepherds did. Even when we find ourselves in the darkness of despair or struggling with some sin, come to him and see in him the Prince of Peace. We close with laying this benediction from 2 Thessalonians upon your hearts. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior of peace. Amen.